You can kind of cherry pick which sections you want to listen to, because on the agenda, they give the times so that if your main focus is about health, your main focus is about pregnancy, and maybe you don't have time to listen to other ones, you can at least put it in your calendar to say, on this date and time, I've signed up, and this is the link and when I want to go on and listen to it.
Conferences specifically for adults with congenital heart defects, or ACHD, important? Who attends ACHD conferences? What can a person expect to learn at a virtual conference? Welcome to Heart with Anna. I am Anna Jaworski and the host of your program. Many of you know that my son, Alexander, was born with a single ventricle heart. He's 27 years old and doing great. It's because of Alexander that I am the host of your program. Today's show is Houston Methodist ACHD 2021 Virtual Conference, and our guest is Annie Olchek. We'll start today's program by learning a bit about Annie in segment one. In the second segment, we're going to talk about how she got involved with Houston Methodist Hospital and what role she is going to play in their virtual conference. And in the final segment, we will learn more about how we can attend a conference and who some of the guest speakers are. Annie Olchek was born in Lima, Peru in 1979 with nomenclature HLHS, pulmonary stenosis, double inlet right atrium, and double outlet right ventricle. She was adopted and had the two-stage HLHS process, the BT shunt at age 3 and a classic Fontan at age 7 at Boston Children's Hospital. She was diagnosed with congestive heart failure and cardiac cirrhosis in 2010. In June 2014, she was diagnosed with autoimmune sericitis of the peritoneum. In December 2014 and January 2015, she was diagnosed with atrial flutters and has undergone 2 cardiac ablations. Following her most recent health struggles, Annie developed a passion for nutrition and improved her health dramatically via an overhaul of her diet. Annie works full-time as a dual executive assistant and project coordinator for a prominent Boston healthcare system. When Annie's not working, she could be found volunteering at Quincy Animal Shelter or cooking in her kitchen. My loyal listeners will remember Annie from season 15 when she was on an episode entitled Living with HLHS and Evolving Diagnoses. Welcome back to Heart with Anna, Annie.
Hi, thank you for having me again. This is truly an honor.
It's so much fun for me to talk to you, and I'm so excited that we're both involved with the ACHD conference. I can't wait for us to get to that. But first, perhaps not all of my listeners have heard the first show that you were on. I will put the link in the show notes, friends, and that's the description of the program. But could you just briefly summarize what your condition is and how you're doing now, Annie?
Well, I think you actually did a wonderful summary with your introduction. So as you said, nomenclature HLHS with pulmonary stenosis, DIRV, DORF, and as I've gotten older, I was diagnosed with congestive heart failure and Fontan-associated liver disease, which was once known as cardiac cirrhosis. Mm-hmm. And because of my liver, later on, I was diagnosed with sericitis of the peritoneum. Actually, all of that has been doing quite well. I've been very fortunate. But back in October, I dealt with a rare virus that caused a lot of issues with my joints and body. I had unexplained uterine bleeding that caused me to lose over a third of my blood and needing 2 blood transfusions.
So, oh my gosh. As you can see, this last month?
October 2020.
Oh, okay. So last year. So it's been a year. So last year, Annie, I didn't even know you went through that. So last year you had to have 2 blood transfusions. How scary.
Yes, it really was. And I was very fortunate because also during the year of 2020, I went through mental health programs to work through a lot of my medical trauma and issues mm-hmm. that I didn't even realize I had until I sat down and thought about it. But then also about working within me and learning how to deal with some of the things that were going on surrounding me. So I am really doing very well. I am learning to live with this body that I'm trying to get used to again, because since the blood transfusions, there have been some differences I have noticed. It's been quite an experience, but I have to say I am very lucky and fortunate to be able to wake up in my own place, being able to work full time and hang out with my cats as well as be at home.
Okay. So when you're in the animal shelter, you're not helping with the dogs, you're over there with the cats.
Yes.
Okay. I'm a dog girl. Oh my gosh. I have three dogs. We just adopted somebody yesterday.
Oh, I love dogs too. I really do. But I have to say that 1% extra is with cats.
I love it. Okay. Oh my goodness. I know you have such a complicated medical history, but tell me what the most difficult thing has been that you've gone through in living with such a complicated medical journey.
It's funny. I think the most complicated aspect, or I should say two complications, the need to be on medications now and what they do to my body. Before I got diagnosed with congestive heart failure and Fontan-associated liver disease with the sericitis, I lived very normally, not needing medications, being able to go outside and play and do as I please, study all the activities that a four-chambered heart person would do. The only difference is, and I said this before, is when I get changed and look at myself in a mirror, I have a heart scar. And once a year, I go to my cardiac appointments. And now it's the medications, actually, the diuretics that have been difficult and have caused some anxiety, as well as my food in the beginning. It caused a lot of sadness and anxiety because I thought I was going to just be living a bland diet where all I'd be doing is steaming my vegetables and having tasteless, lifeless chicken.
Right. Because you couldn't have salt. And many restrictions on you.
Yes. And I couldn't have alcohol. I couldn't have a lot of things. And so as I've learned that that is not the case, I was introduced to a lot of herbs. I started doing a lot of research and basically experimenting in my kitchen. And as my GI doctor and I were working together, and that's the beauty of it, we worked together so well. And my new GI doctor and I, we work very well together as well. So we're quite open and honest with each other. And through medications and through the diet and liquid changes, I was able to get back to the normalcy that I had desired so badly to get. But as we know, normalcy can be different for everyone. And my new difference was the medications. And so my worry is always whenever I go someplace I don't know, especially in the morning or daytime, I have to immediately find the bathrooms as quickly as possible. And I have to figure out immediately where I'm going to sit that's not going to bother too many people because I take my diuretics with my breakfast. Yes. So I'm in and out. And I sometimes, depending on the situation, I might not drink. I might just have one glass of coffee or tea or a little orange juice. And then I completely go dry, which is horrible because then you're not letting the fluid come out too. But it's that paranoia and that anxiety I have to live with that I've dealt with in the mental health aspect and saying, okay, how can I deal with this and be okay with it and also still give my body what it's supposed to do? Otherwise, it's not going to get rid of the fluid.
Right. My mom had to go on diuretics near the end of her life. And I didn't realize what anxiety that was causing her until I started taking her to medical appointments and she would get stressed out at what time we would have to schedule the appointments. I was working, but I was her driver and I would have to come get her. And so I'd say, this would be the best time for me. Oh, no, I can't do that. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, exactly what you were saying. No, I might have to go to the bathroom and I might be in the car. And so while I had taken her to a visit with her cardiologist, I told the doctor, I said, my mother's really stressing out, but my son had been on Lasix in the past. Of course, he was an infant, but I said, is it really necessary that my mother take it at the same time every day? Or if she has an appointment early in the morning, can she wait and take the diuretic later? And he said, oh, sure. And that totally changed my mother's life. Because she had been stressing so much and thought she always had to take it on the dot at the same time every day. And when she had something special, she couldn't enjoy it as much because she was so worried that something might happen and she might have an accident.
Yes. And I can truly understand that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As an adult, you don't want to have to worry about something like that. And she did not want to wear adult diapers. And I totally understand that.
I understand that completely. But I know for myself, my own body can't manage too many changes medically. So if I change my diuretic one day and I do my normal morning the next day, it either A, doesn't take off the fluid for several days, or B, it becomes sort of like an open gasket and I can't stop all day long. And then also, because mine lasts a good 3 or 4 hours worth, if I take it too late, then I'm going into dinner or trying to go to sleep and I'm up and about. So for me, even though it would be ideal to try to change it to the afternoon, morning is actually better.
Mm-hmm. It sounds to me like you have found something that works for you. I was happy that we found something that worked for mom. For my mom, she took Lasix and it truly was. It lasted 6 hours. And after that 6 hours, she was perfectly fine. But I think it's important that you find out what works for you. And every body is so different that you don't know what's going to work for you versus somebody else. So I think it's always good to check with your doctor. Like I was able to check with my mom's doctor and he said it was okay for her. And that did work for her. 6 hours was miserable, but then the rest of the day was okay. And I think people don't realize how bad it is. It's funny because I was starting to potty train Alex when he was on Lasix. You can imagine potty training a kid who's on Lasix. Not fun, right?
Yeah.
And I was talking to his cardiologist about that. And he was so sympathetic and he helped me to adjust the schedule that I had Alexander on for his Lasix to make potty training more rewarding for him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, favorable so that he could actually do it. And I remember saying to him, thank you so much for understanding. And he said, I've just recently had to start taking Lasix myself. And he said, now I understand how bad it is.
And I think that's what's so sad. Is that until somebody actually goes through it, they don't understand or know and just kind of brush it off and say, well, then take it at another time or, you know, don't drink as much or just learn to live with it. And it's, I'm thinking to myself, I have to go on a car ride for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. You know, I now have to tell all these people, whether it be family or friends, hey, by the way, we might be stopping every 5 to 15 minutes. So what would be 3 hours could be 4 to 4.5 because I have to stop again. Mm-hmm. And you try your hardest to hold it, but then it gets to that urgency where you're saying, everyone turn around. I have to pull over, just open a car seat and let me go. I mean, I don't joke when I say I carry toilet paper with me at all times. Mm. And I actually have a little Tupperware, as embarrassing as it is to admit. But when you have to go, you've got a choice, pee your pants or find a spot and hope nobody sees you.
Right. It makes you plan your life completely differently, doesn't it?
Oh, you could say that again. You could say that again. Yes.
Tonight Forever by the Baby Blue Sound Collective.
I think what I love so much about this CD is that some of the songs were inspired by the patients.
Many listeners will understand many of the different songs and what they've been inspired by. Our new album will be available on iTunes, Amazon.com, Spotify.
I love the fact that the proceeds from this CD are actually going to help those with congenital heart defects.
Enjoy the music.
Home Tonight Forever.
This content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. The opinions expressed in the podcast are not those of Hearts Unite the Globe, but of the hosts and guests, and are intended to spark discussion about issues pertaining to congenital heart disease or bereavement.
You are listening to Heart to Heart with Anna. If you have a question or comment that you would like addressed on our show, please send an email to Anna Jaworski at anna@hearttoheartwithanna.com. That's anna@hearttoheartwithanna.com. Now, back to Heart with Anna.
Annie, let's start this segment by talking about how you got involved with Houston Methodist, because you're all the way in Boston.
Very good friends with Lena Morsch. She and I are both admins on Zipper Sisters, and we obviously know each other's history, the good and the bad and the ugly. Houston Methodist was looking for someone, preferably a Fontan patient who has dealt with congestive heart failure and needing to change diets and liver issues. And immediately, because she was part of this, she thought, that's Annie. That is exactly what Annie has gone through. She asked me if I would be interested in this. And I said, definitely. Any chance that I get to talk about the liver and healthy eating and what it means to a congenital heart disease patient is something I'm always very passionate about. It's great when someone can stick to a diet and be on that forever, but this is a lifestyle, and it's a lifestyle change, one that we have to endure and learn and say okay with, but also treat ourselves without feeling all that guilt, but know when that treat becomes too much. It's that happy balance. That is how I got involved. Thanks to Lena, they reached out to me. Dr. Huey Lin reached out to me through email saying how excited he was. And from there, they started the program and figuring out, okay, what are we going to talk about? We're going to be doing a video and different things. And I've always wanted to see Texas. And so now my dad and I are traveling to Texas. And then that's the other aspect of it was mental health. And Lena thought that pulling me in on that, considering what I've been going through recently, especially working on my own mental health, we would be good to be able to talk about the issues that continue for congenital heart patients and how we can let the medical community, the doctors, the nurses, the PAs, the mental health specialists, and parents and friends of those who don't have to deal with this day to day, how they can be more sympathetic, more involved, and et cetera.
Yeah. The mental health aspect is something that has been ignored for far too long, Annie. I think the emphasis was, let's get these people to survive. It was like they had tunnel vision. That's all anybody could think about. That was the most important thing, to the exclusion of just about everything else, which was really hard for me when my baby had a stroke and came out with paralyzed vocal cords, actually paralyzed diaphragm. And I was, I'll be honest with you, a little bit in a panic because my baby, who had gone in saying, "Mama, bye bye, Dada," came out saying nothing. And the doctor turned to me and said, "But he's alive."
And I think that's what's so difficult is, yes, we are alive, but what we had to go through to get here doesn't just affect us. Like you said, it affects our family members. I mean, we don't look at the mental health of the parents, the ones who are bearing it, whether it be the mothers who are right there by their side or the fathers who have to go to work every day, possibly feeling guilty that they're working and not being able to be by their wife's side and their baby's side. And then you also have the siblings who now, if they were older, they were used to having mom and dad around all the time. And now their parents have to constantly go in the hospital and maybe they're not giving them the attention. So you get the aggravation and the anger and the confusion from them. And if they're younger, this is all they knew, but they can still be jealous because it's like, oh, I'm the new baby, but yet you're not paying attention to me.
Oh my gosh, you have totally nailed it. Exactly. You have such an astute observation, Annie, that I know you're going to be such an asset on that panel. I can't wait to hear it. You and I met in person in Boston at another conference for congenital heart disease, but it wasn't just for adults. So I'm wondering, why do you think it's important for us to have a conference specifically for adults with congenital heart disease?
Because we're the pioneers, to put it nicely.
Absolutely.
We're the people who they operated on, not knowing outcomes and statistics and how long we would live. No one still knows how long someone's going to live. Someone with my exact diagnosis might make it to 80 and I could be gone tomorrow. There is no rhyme or reason, but having at least the knowledge and understanding that we adults are starting to go through some pretty horrific things. We're going to need more surgeries. I've been very fortunate. I'm knocking on some wood here in Boston. But I have not needed any further heart surgeries. But I know a lot of my friends who have needed Fontan revisions or valve replacements and mechanical things now in their systems. So by dealing with the adult body and not a child's body anymore, they're dealing with what's going to happen to us later on? What can they try to predict? What can they tell us statistically so that we have a little bit of hope or at least some knowledge so we're prepared? And that's the biggest thing. Preparation mentally is huge.
Whether
we sit there and cry into a ball or we say, okay, this is going to happen. How am I going to work with this?
Knowledge is power.
Yes, knowledge is always power because knowledge is also hope. Hope that when it gets to my turn, it will be easier. And something that the doctors will already be able to say, oh, this institution's doing this, or this hospital's doing that. Let me reach out to them. Let me find out what their services or their procedures or their new research is showing so that we can work together. And I'm always trying to say that to everyone is if you work together as a whole, and I know that's not always easy because somebody always wants to be the number one research institution, hospital, academic, whatever it might be, to be able to find this hidden key, the answer to everything. But if we work together, we can find it together and we can help each other. But the beauty of adult congenital heart knowledge is the children and the babies who are growing up.
Yeah.
They will have a better outcome, I hope, than what we have had to deal with. If someone could tell me that a Fontan patient, and it makes me cry, is not going to have to go through this liver stuff.
Oh, I
know. To the degree that I went through.
Yeah.
That right there alone makes me happy. Like, do all the testing, do all the medication, figuring it out so that when that next person comes through, they're not having to deal with the blow as hard as we did, as traumatic as we have. And they'll have their own trauma, but at least it won't be something that they just don't know.
Well, so, I think it still will be something they don't know.
It will always be something they don't know.
Exactly. But at least they'll have the knowledge that has been gained through you pioneers. And I'm so thankful that there are people like Lena Morsch and Joe Valente and Annie Olchek and so many other amazing adults that I know who are willing to step up and share their experience, because my kid is 27 and he's made it so much longer than was ever anticipated.
Yeah.
And it's because of people like you and the amazing doctors and nurses and pharmacists, and I could go on and on and on. There are so many people who have been supportive of him, people that I don't even know. And I really do appreciate it. And I do think you're right. Having that adult conference with the focus being only on the adults has so much potential to help even the children, but it has so much potential to help so many of the adults, especially adults who maybe have fallen out of care and are just now getting back into care and are a little bit behind on the times and don't know what to expect. So have you ever attended a virtual conference before?
Yes, actually, I attended my first one yesterday.
Oh, really?
I did.
Okay.
It was given by FON, F-O-N, which stands for Fontan Outcome Network. It was about very similar things in terms of liver, mental health, exercise, and all the things that we're talking about now, as well as that get talked about constantly, which is a good thing. And their goal is trying to find out how they can make things better, how they can put more understanding and knowledge out there, as well as the medical community, but then also find that community amongst ourselves, which is pretty awesome that we have so many ways virtually now that they're able to do that. So even if you're not in the same state as somebody, you can still, quote unquote, meet them virtually so that you can talk to each other and know your stories and start talking about the good times and the bad times and those ugly times. So yeah, it was great. And I loved it because I was able to, I'm about to tell a secret here. I was doing house chores while listening to it.
That's okay. That's one good thing. You can vacuum or dust or do dishes and still.
Oh,
listen.
I was cleaning my entire bathroom and kitchen from top to bottom. And it was wonderful because I was able to be in my relaxing clothes, doing something else, but also paying attention. And when something really struck me, I would stop and listen and watch it to make sure I got the right information. The also amazing part of having something virtual is where it's all recorded. If someone wasn't able to make it on that day, or maybe someone didn't know about it, by having that link, you can send it out to numerous amounts of people and get the information out there to those who have missed the original date and time.
Anna Jaworski has written several books to empower the congenital heart defect, or CHD, community. These books can be found at Amazon.com or at her website, www.babyheartspress.com. Her bestseller is The Heart of a Mother, an anthology of stories written by women for women in the CHD community. Anna's other books, My Brother Needs an Operation, The Heart of a Father, and Hypoplastic Left Heart Syndrome, a handbook for parents, will help you understand that you are not alone. Visit babyheartspress.com to find out more.
Heart to Heart with Anna is a presentation of Hearts Unite the Globe and is part of the HUG Podcast Network.
Hearts Unite the Globe is a nonprofit organization devoted to providing resources to the congenital heart defect community to uplift, empower, and enrich the lives of our community members. If you would like access to free resources pertaining to the CHD community, please visit our website at www.congenitalheartdefects.com for information about CHD, the hospitals that treat children with CHD, summer camps for CHD survivors, and much, much more.
Before the break, Annie, we were talking about how you got involved with Houston Methodist and why it might be helpful to attend a virtual conference devoted to adults with congenital heart defects. But in this segment, let's talk specifically about the upcoming conference that Houston Methodist is hosting in 2021. So you already told us you're going to be talking about mental health. You're going to be talking about nutrition. Do you know some of the other topics that will be discussed?
Actually, I do. They're going to be talking about pregnancy and women's health, challenges in Eisenmenger syndrome and pulmonary hypertension, also advanced therapies for adult congenital heart failure, which I'm very interested in learning, different types of arrhythmias like atrial fibrillation. And this is the other section I'll be part of, how to maintain perspective on heart health in the current age of social media. And that's going to be regarding mental health.
Yeah.
And then finally, they'll be having the closing discussions, which I just found out I was going to be part of too. So here we go.
They can't get enough of you, Annie.
Apparently not, since I'm going to be there in person. Why not?
Exactly. Why not? Why not take advantage of having the awesome Annie Olchek all the way from Boston? I think that's fantastic. Annie, how can people register for this conference? Is it too late to register?
No, it's never too late to register.
So it's not too late to register. I'll provide the link in the show notes. So in case you're riding your bike or you're cleaning house, like what Annie said, that's a great thing about podcasts too, is that if you're in the shower, if you're cleaning your bathroom or cleaning your oven, you can still listen to a podcast. So if any of you are doing any of that kind of stuff and you don't have a piece of paper handy, don't worry about it. We'll put the link in the show notes. I'm so happy that it's not too late to register because I think this is going to be a fantastic conference. I've been involved with Houston Methodist for years, and I try to go in person every year that they have it because I'm not a huge virtual conference kind of gal, but it sounds like it would be worth it virtually. Is this an all-day event or?
You can kind of cherry pick which sections you want to listen to because on the agenda, they give the times so that if your main focus is about health, your main focus is about pregnancy, and maybe you don't have time to listen to other ones, you can at least put it in your calendar to say, on this date and time, I've signed up and this is the link and when I want to go on and listen to it.
I love it.
They want this to be something where everyone can understand and everyone can learn something as well.
I love it. Annie, do you have any advice for other adults with congenital heart disease or their family members or friends who might be interested in this conference?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, sign up. The register has the agenda on it. It has all the information. It shows the speakers, those who are going to be patients and those who are in the medical field. You can always look us up. Some of us were on Twitter. We're on Facebook. I won't deny I keep mine a little bit private only because it's also my personal one. But yeah, I mean, you can find us in so many ways. If you do want to reach out to us on any of those platforms, I'm also on Instagram. Send us a message. Ask us questions. That's the beauty of a lot of this is if we can give you an experience that might be similar to yours or what you might be experiencing in the future, that's truly what matters.
One last question, Annie, and that is, how terribly expensive is this conference?
The beauty of it, this is free.
That's what I love about it too. They're opening up all this information for free.
Yes. And I think if we had this when we were younger, it would give you something to understand and knowing that the community out there is doing everything they can to help us and learn. And then we also then can help them. They don't understand, but we can help them as patients. If we work with them, if we tell them what's really going on with a medication, they can then say to another patient, a majority of my patients have felt this way. This is normal. Or a majority of my patients didn't feel that way. Why don't you come in and let's find out together what's going on.
Exactly.
When we work together, we help our systems physically, mentally, emotionally. And exactly.
I love it. Oh my gosh, Annie. Thank you so much for coming on the program today.
Thank you so much.
Oh, it was so much fun, Annie. The time just flew. So that does conclude this episode of Heart to Heart with Anna. Thanks for listening today. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review of our podcast on Apple Podcasts or YouTube or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And remember, my friends, you are not alone.
Thank you again for joining us this week. We hope you have been inspired and empowered to become an advocate for the congenital heart defect community. Heart to Heart with Anna, with your host Anna Jaworski, can be heard every Tuesday at 12 noon Eastern Time.